Eagles Nation, what's going on? Louis DiBiase here, joining you on this Friday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day, your only daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles. Happy to be joining you here on this Friday night, 2 days away, by the time you're listening, probably 1 day away from the Eagles taking on the New Orleans Saints on Sunday, the 8-1 New Orleans Saints against the 4-5 Philadelphia Eagles. And looking at the schedule at the beginning of the season, probably wouldn't have thought that that would be the records of these two teams, but here we are, 10 weeks into the season with a bye week included, and this is where we are with the Philadelphia Eagles, and they have a huge, huge test, but also a huge opportunity this Sunday to beat one of the best teams in football. If you missed any of our podcasts this week, we took a first look at the matchup between the Eagles and the Saints on Wednesday with my co-host Gino Camilleri. If you missed any of the other shows, you can find them on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, any podcast platform that you listen to your shows. We are up and available on those sites. And as always, LockedOnEagles.com. We have written content up there as well, guys, for you. So we have today I wrote about Rasul Douglas. You guys all know I'm one of the main guys in the #FreeZool campaign trying to get Rasul Douglas on the field. And against Dallas last week, he got his first start of the season, and it was an up-and-down performance, but I feel like people have made him into the new Jalen Mills on Eagles Twitter. So I did an honest evaluation of Rasul. I went through the film. I found the good. I found the bad, and I put it together. And we're going to get more into Rasul Douglas later on, because on our second segment, we're going to talk about key matchups, and I feel like Douglas is part of a key matchup in this game. So that's coming up on the show, as well as we're going to get the thoughts of Locked On Saints host Ross Jackson later on as well. He will give us his takes on the matchup between the Eagles and the Saints, an inside look on New Orleans, more so as we give our inside look on the Philadelphia Eagles all week long, every week. So that's coming up on the third segment, but right now what I want to get into, guys, is a topic that I don't feel like is talked about enough with this Eagles team when we're talking about struggles. So on Monday, me and Gino, or on Tuesday, me and Gino talked about why is this Eagles team 4-5, and we kind of ranked the reasons we went down. Both of us gave 1 through 5, 5 reasons that we thought this Eagles team that had so many aspirations this year, including a championship aspiration to repeat as Super Bowl champions, why are they 4-5? Why has this been a miserable season that it has been so far in the first half of the season? One that didn't really mention, you know, we kind of mentioned it in a way, but one thing that hasn't been talked about enough. You know, you've heard the championship hangover, how Doug Peterson went on a book tour this year, and Nick Foles, and really they celebrated a lot this 2017 Super Bowl. And I don't blame them for that, but a lot of people talk about that, the injuries. We talked about the coaching, how the coaching just has not been the same. And these are all true and good points to why the Eagles are 4-5. But a key reason that I don't feel like is talked about enough is how loose they haven't been playing, how tight it seems like this offense and defense are. The fun of these games has been gone. And of course, you know, part of having a fun experience, not just for fans, but a player as well on a Sunday night or afternoon or Monday night, Thursday night, is you're winning football games. But I feel like it's got to be the other way around too. To me, you got to be playing loose to win football games. And I have not seen that from the Eagles this year. I haven't seen that street ball, just go out there and have fun. I haven't seen that swagger that we saw from last year's team that just did not seem like anything would faze them, even when their franchise quarterback went down, one of their star linebackers, right? When Jordan Hicks got hurt and Carson Wentz got hurt and Darren Sproles got hurt and your franchise left tackle, it didn't seem like anything would faze that team. We have not seen that this year. Even the coaching, the way the coaching game plan has been drawn up so far with Doug Peterson and Mike Groh and Jim Schwartz, it all seems bottled up, tightened up, and that's how we're watching these games, because that's how they're playing. It seems like, I don't want to say they're scared to lose games, I don't want to say the pressure has gotten to them as defending champions, but they haven't been playing loose, they haven't been playing confident, truthfully. Outside of Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz and Fletcher Cox, and probably I'll give Malcolm Jenkins some credit here as well. Those four, you know, part of the main four core pieces of your roster, the rest of the team has not played confidently. and they haven't just gone out there and played football and had confidence in the system, had confidence in what they were doing, and think they can go out there and beat anyone. Truthfully, they've played the Titans and the Panthers, and last week against the Cowboys. They've played teams that they are better than. They are superior to those teams. Still, if you ask me, they are a better football team than the Carolina Panthers, I think talent-wise. I think quarterback-wise, defense, just pure talent, and coaching as well. And they lost to those teams because a lot of it, I feel like, was the game started to get out of hand, and they started to get scared, and they started to be like, oh my gosh, we got to hold on to this. And they were trying to grab onto that and play not to lose instead of playing to win football games. And I feel like they should be doing the opposite right now. They need to get back to playing fun, loose football. And, you know, you saw that so far this week. I hope they can get back to that. I like Brandon Graham coming out and saying that they can go 11-5 the rest of the way and win 7 straight games. I like seeing them at practice indoors with that high energy right at the end of the huddle. Everyone's jumping around, getting excited. I like seeing that. I like seeing them in the snow this week, practicing in the snow, seeing guys like Timmy Jernigan throwing snowballs around and Alshon Jeffrey smiling, having fun practicing out there in the elements. Maybe that's what this team needs. Although they're not going to play in the snow this week, I think it was good to have them prepare in the snow. Because I feel like, first off, it's fun to be in the snow. I think football players love it. It's something that they've grown up doing. It's part of why you fall in love with football, is that you guys all know out there, growing up as football fans, snow day from school, you're outside with all your friends playing tackle football in the snow with your snow pants and big jackets. It brought them back, I feel like, at least. And I'd like to ask them if I was there about that practice in the snow. It brings you back to why you fell in love with football in the first place. And it makes it fun. It makes the practice more enjoyable. And it's not all serious all the time. Oh, man, we're Super Bowl champions. We got to meet these expectations. They got to forget about that now. They're 4-5. That Super Bowl was in February. It's getting on December now of 2018. This season is almost over. And then after that, you're not Super Bowl champions again. Not saying they can't still do it, but they got to turn it around quick. And I feel like part of that is playing fun, loose football. And I liked what I saw this week from them in that area. I think the snow really did help. Again, they're playing in a dome, so they're not going to be restricted by the elements. But I feel like it was big to try to get that passion back because they haven't played that way. It feels like, I don't know if the pressure has made them tighten up, but that's just that's the vibe that the 2018 Eagles have sent, to me at least, when I'm watching these games, is this uncomfortable feeling. Every time I watch them, even when they win games, I don't feel that confidence through the TV. I don't. And I know that's crazy to say, probably. But I feel like that's a huge part of this. And that coincides with the way they're playing football and the way they're game planning. It does. It has a huge part of it. And I really liked seeing them out in the snow, out in the elements. And because that's what they got to get back to doing. This is a huge test against a team that's better than you right now. They are better than everybody. The Saints, their quarterback is completing almost 80% of his throws. He's got over 20 touchdowns, and he's got one interception. That's the team that you're going up against on the road. And this isn't an LA Rams team that has no home field advantage whatsoever. New Orleans is a tough place to play. And the Saints should be one of the Super Bowl favorites right now. I picked them to win the Super Bowl in the summer, and I'm feeling pretty good about that right now. Yes, I did not pick the Eagles. I'm sorry. Had to put my bias away as an NFL analyst. Up here in Buffalo, I do an NFL radio show on 91.3 FM, so I did pick the Saints. I know I'm sorry. I want the Eagles to win it all, and if they get in still, they can do it. I'm not saying it's going to be over if they lose to the Saints team, but it's got to start now. Even if they lose this football game, I want to feel good heading into these division matchups coming up. I want to feel good that, yeah, they lost a close one against the Saints, but, man, did both sides of the ball step up, and I love the coaching plan from Jim Schwartz and Doug Peterson and Mike Groh and Deuce Staley. I like the way they were rotating the running backs, and I feel like next time we get a test at one of these really good teams, like the Rams coming up later on in the season, that they have a legitimate shot at beating that team. Because even at 4-6, Washington plays Houston, and they play Dallas, and I feel like they're going to drop at least one. If the Eagles can keep within two games of Washington and they beat them twice, I'm still feeling confident that they can win in the NFC East. And if they win in the NFC East and they get in, This team has that playoff experience from last year, that title run. And if they get in, I'll take them against anybody. I think they can still do that. And I hope that they feel that way too. And I hope that this week of practice helped. But I just wanted to get that out there because I was really encouraged. And it kind of made me take a step back and think of some memorable snow moments with the Eagles, right? In 2013, in the Snow Bowl against Detroit when LeSean McCoy went off with Chip Kelly's first year. I thought about some bad moments too when I go back to 2010 when Michael Vick and the Eagles were trying to, they had already clinched the NFC East, I think, but they were trying for home field advantage. That year, Vick won Comeback Player of the Year. And there was a blizzard in Philadelphia on that Sunday, so the Vikings-Eagles game got postponed. And Joe Webb, of all people, comes in on a Tuesday night game. Remember that? Tuesday night football, Eagles-Vikings. And he just squashes Sean McDermott's defense. Yeah, Sean McDermott was defensive coordinator for a year. Remember that? With Asante Samuel, Trent Cole, Ernie Sims was one of the linebackers, Stuart Bradley. But that it was cool seeing them out in the snow this week because it brought back some of those good memories against the Lions and unpleasant memories against the Vikings. But I really hope that we see that this week, that confidence, because we've only really seen that confidence from a couple guys this year. Coming up next on the Locked On Eagles podcast as we continue our preview as the Eagles take on the New Orleans Saints this Sunday, some matchups to watch out for on both the offensive side and the defensive side for the Eagles. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. All right, welcome back, everybody, to the show. Louis DiBiase here on this Friday evening. At this point, whenever you are listening before Sunday, we do appreciate you tuning in throughout the week as the Eagles try to right the ship this year and try to save this 2018 season, a daunting task against the 8-1 New Orleans Saints. If they're going to get this win, some matchups to watch for me. On the offensive side of the football, Carson Wentz down the field against that Saints defense. That's giving up a lot of passing yards right now. 31st in passing yards allowed so far this year. Rushing's going to be tough. It will be. I think Josh Adams against the Saints defense is something to watch out for as well. If he can gain any sort of momentum for this Eagles running game that's been non-existent almost this entire Eagles season. I mean, the guy was averaging almost 7 yards a carry last week. Dallas was shocked that they didn't give him the football more. The Saints defense is another big test, but if Adams can have some success maybe in the red zone, that's going to be big for this team and for this passing game. And Carson Wentz, though, is still going to be the key. They're going to have to throw the football in this game. Even if I want them to maintain some sort of balance and show the Saints that, hey, we can run the football. So you can't just say, Carson Wentz is going to throw the football. Let's just keep everybody back. But they're nonetheless going to have to throw this football to win games, or to win this game against the Saints. Because without Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby, with how the defense looks right now, health-wise, with how good Drew Brees looks and Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, who all should probably be considered for MVP candidate this year, the Eagles are going to have to stay in the football game by throwing it with Carson Wentz. And more specifically, the matchup I'm talking about, or the element of this matchup, is down the field. I feel like Carson Wentz has relied on Zach Ertz far too much. I feel like the improv plays where Wentz is running around and slinging it down the field to Nelson Aguilar or looking for Alshon Jeffrey, I feel like you haven't seen that this year. And I'm not saying it's a knock on Zach Ertz, but it's more a reflection of the philosophy and mindset of this offense right now. And again, it's not loose. It's not like last year where, you know, the pocket has been pretty good. The pass protection for Wentz has been pretty solid for the majority of this year. It was off to a really slow start in the beginning of the year, but for the most part, the past few weeks, I feel like the Eagles' offensive line has done a good job for Wentz. I do feel like, however, sometimes maybe Wentz is going to Ertz too quickly. You don't normally want a quarterback to hold on to the football longer than he has to. It's kind of the opposite of Aaron Rodgers' criticism right now. Right around the national media, what we heard this week as he blew that game. He didn't blow it, but Green Bay blew that game last night in Seattle against the Seahawks. Aaron Rodgers was part of it, and a lot of it was because he was looking for the big play all the time, right? And he wasn't taking a lot of the gimmies, the 6 to 8 yard plays. I feel like Carson Wentz, we have seen some big plays from him this year. Early on against the Colts, he was doing it still, which instilled a lot of confidence in us that his leg was healthy. He was running around, extending plays. But I feel like he's almost become too dependent on the pocket. And I don't know if the leg has anything to do with it, but I have seen no restrictions in that leg when he decides to run around and extend plays. And I want to see more of that. I want to see him maybe hold on to the football a little bit more and move around. Create some space. Make the corners cover Alshon and Aguilar and Ertz and Goddard and Golden Tate now longer than they have to, because it's going to open up plays down the field. We haven't seen those big plays. Even when we've seen the big plays, they've been across the middle to Zach Ertz and to Alshon. And Aguilar a lot of time making things happen. When, you know, the big plays have happened with Aguilar, outside of the deep bomb in the pocket against the Cowboys, a lot of it has been the plays breaking down, Wentz is moving around, he finds Aguilar. That's what they succeeded with last year. And I want to see him do that more. I'm not just saying Wentz is looking for the deep ball in the pocket. I mean extending plays, running around, get the defense to shift, get them to move. Because I feel like that's an element of Wentz's game that we haven't really seen a lot this year. And I feel like that'd be big against the Saints, because you're going to have to find big plays. The Saints are a very good run defense. The Eagles have struggled in the red zone, partially because they can't run the football. If they can't do it again this week, we're going to have home runs from Golden Tate and Aguilar and Alshon and Zach Ertz too. Wentz has been really good this year, but I still want to see those big plays this week increase. I do. I think Golden Tate's going to make those with some. The more comfortable he gets in the offense, I think the run after the catchability is going to be there. But I'm talking just bombs. Because outside of that Aguilar bomb last week, there haven't been a lot of those. There's been some good chunk plays, 20 to 30 yards, but there haven't been those air it out type of plays. And I feel like he does have the personnel now to do it. You don't need a DeSean Jackson still to push the ball down the field. Aguilar has that speed. Alshon's got that size down the field. Golden Tate's got that speed as well. And he's going to play on the outside a lot of the time when Aguilar's inside. So that's a key thing I want to see on the offense, is from Carson Wentz deep down the field against the Saints, running around those improv plays. Sometimes make that a priority in your offense. It doesn't always have to be scripted. Sometimes make it more unscripted like Aaron Rodgers does. It'll succeed a lot of the time, and you need a couple of those plays, because I feel like the Eagles are averaging 22 points a game around, and a lot of it's because if you add that big play here and there, from turnovers on defense as well, but on the offensive side, you add a lot of those crazy plays Wentz was making last year, and you're back close to 30 points a game. And that, to me, has been a big part of the offensive struggles this year. So Carson Wentz down the field, Josh Adams against the Saints defense, those are keys for the Eagles on offense. As for on defense, one of the big matchups I mentioned with Geno this week is Alvin Kamara versus Jordan Hicks and Nigel Bradham. Alvin Kamara has been, again, one of the best running backs in the league. And I'd love to see him in Midnight Green. He is an awesome running back, an amazing receiver, a stronger pass blocker than people give him credit for. Against Jordan Hicks and Nigel Bradham, who at the beginning of the season I would have said, name me, outside of Luke Kuechly maybe and Thomas Davis, name me a better linebacking core when it comes to just all-around talent. Coverage linebackers, how good those two were throughout their careers in coverage, how good Nigel Bradham was down the stretch last year, and how good Jordan Hicks has been throughout his career with making plays on the ball, causing turnovers, being disruptive. I haven't seen that at all this year. They haven't been terrible, but I can't name one play Jordan Hicks has made this year. I can't tell you one thing. Nigel Bradham has been non-existent this year. I can't remember a single impactful play those two have made, and they're going to have their hands full this week. Zeke went rampant against the Eagles last week, especially in the second half. They cannot allow Alvin Kamara to do that as well, because I'm already concerned about the passing attack going after this Eagles secondary. It's going to be extremely young this week. So Hicks and Bradham got to find a way to contain Kamara. And damn it, just make a play. Force a ball. Tip it in the air. Get an interception. Force a fumble. Do something. Hicks has been good against the blitz. He's been getting some sacks this year. The Eagles have blitzed more. But we need to see those plays in the run game and the pass game where those two disrupt the offensive game plan and make them adjust. And they're going to have their hands full against Alvin Kamara, an elite pass, not an elite running back, but an elite playmaker in the NFL. And then Michael Thomas against Rasul Douglas, Sidney Jones, and Avante Maddox. That's a huge matchup. Michael Thomas right now is the best receiver in football with the way he's playing. The Eagles, meanwhile, Sidney Jones coming back. He's been out since that Giants game on Thursday Night Football. He's going to be on the outside where he belongs. Super excited to see that because I feel like he's going to be the number one corner for the Eagles of the future on the outside as long as he can stay healthy. We're going to see him go up against Michael Thomas this week. And you didn't see – Sidney Jones looked really good throughout that first half of the season in the slot. He didn't skip – they didn't. The Eagles didn't skip a beat from Patrick Robinson to Sidney Jones. But we didn't really get to see him tested a lot against some really good receivers because he was playing in the slot. And for the most part, you're better, you know, outside of Adam Thielen. And, you know, more and more really good receivers are going inside. But for the most part, they're on the outside. And we didn't get to see Sidney Jones a lot on Julio Jones or Stephon Diggs, right, or Adam Thielen or Odell Beckham. And I think it's going to be really interesting. Even if the Eagles don't win this football game, it's a really good evaluation period for this secondary. Because with Darby's torn ACL, with Jalen Mills' future, we don't really know what he's going to be. Are we going to switch him to safety eventually when McLeod's gone or Jenkins? Is he going to be a slot corner eventually when you move Sidney Jones on the outside? Darby, if he's gone, we got to figure out what we have in Sidney Jones because we're going to need a top corner or are we going to have to go back and draft another one? So that's a huge test this week against Michael Thomas. But Michael Thomas is going to be moving around the field. As long as Jim Schwartz – look, I would love for Jim Schwartz to be like, this week we're going to shadow Michael Thomas with Sidney Jones. I think that's the best way to do it. But it's probably not going to happen considering the way Jim Schwartz is. So at that point, Rasul Douglas on the other side in his second start, he's going to be tested against Michael Thomas as well. And go to LockedOnEagles.com. I did an honest evaluation of Rasul Douglas. I went through the film, pulled up about, I think, 13 plays, give or take. Some good, some bad. And look, here's my take on Rasul Douglas. I think he is a player that can be a starter for the Eagles in the future. I'm still very high on Rasul Douglas. I think, does he have limitations? Yes. Is he the prospect that Sidney Jones is? No, he's not. Sidney Jones, to me, in any scheme, any formation against any player, press man, off man, zone, he can be an elite corner in the league. That's the talent he has. Rasul Douglas is not a CB1. But he can be a good CB2, if you ask me. I really still think that. Against Dallas, some of the things I saw were he was a lousy tackler. I feel like he was timid. I feel like he wasn't crashing to the football. He missed a responsibility on the outside on that screen pass. That was a big play for the Cowboys. He didn't wrap up on one play, just tried to make a shoulder tackle. And it drives me nuts when Jalen Mills and Douglas and a lot of this Eagles defense just kind of rides the offensive player with their shoulder, hoping he goes down eventually. You got to wrap up, especially with how lengthy Rasul Douglas is. I wasn't happy with his tackling, although there were a few plays you saw him shoot down and make a big play. When he wants to be, Douglas can be a very forceful tackler for a corner. Another part what I saw was the Eagles running a lot of man coverage, a lot of press up at the line. Douglas was right on Amari Cooper and Gallup and Allen Hurns. But they weren't using – this is, to me, too, why I get on Jim Schwartz for Rasul Douglas' performance, is that Rasul is a lengthier corner that he depends on instincts. He's great at making plays on the ball, but he's not the most athletic corner. He's slower in the hips. His footwork is slower. So when you're playing press man coverage, but you're not letting Douglas get his hands on guys, let him grapple him, get better position to track him and make a play on the ball, stay close to the ball. Because when he's close to the ball, you saw it at West Virginia, you saw it last year, you've seen it a few times this year, Douglas is a playmaker. But when you're playing man coverage close to the line of scrimmage and you're not letting Douglas get his hands on people, Amari Cooper was easily, with that hard first cut outside or inside, was turning Douglas's hips, manipulating him. Allen Hurns did it too on a key third down to convert on a first down and extend the Cowboys' drive late in that fourth quarter as the Eagles are trying to get the lead. Remember the Eagles had to keep tying it back up with the offense. It's easier for great route runners like Amari Cooper and this week Michael Thomas to open up Rasul Douglas. He's a more limited corner. He's not going to be your top corner in the defense. But as a coach, your job is to put your players in the best position to succeed. And this week against Michael Thomas, who's an even better route runner than Amari Cooper, if you're going to play man coverage, you got either play off zone, let Douglas read the defense or the offense, give him an opportunity to position himself better. But if you're going to play man and you're going to keep him close to the line of scrimmage, you got to let him get a hand on Michael Thomas. a bigger receiver that Douglas. Douglas is good against bigger receivers, slower receivers. Michael Thomas is fast, though, and he's a route. He's a technician with route running. You got to let him grapple Michael Thomas unless you're going to shadow Sidney Jones with him. You got to put Douglas in better positions to succeed. You do. Because after getting turned inside out, after getting put on ice skates about four times against Amari Cooper and those Cowboy receivers, Jim Schwartz failed to adjust and failed to help Rasul Douglas. I feel like he kind of left him out to dry a lot in that position. And that's a key matchup this week because the Saints are probably going to keep Michael Thomas on the left side a lot and make Rasul Douglas beat them. Avante Maddox, too, in the slot. I've been high on Maddox, but that's a key thing to watch, not only because Michael Thomas is such a good receiver, but we could be looking at the trio of the future for the Eagles at corner. They need to evaluate Douglas Moore and Sidney Jones, who's missed a lot of games in his 2 years to start with the Eagles. And Avante Maddox, I'm very high on as a safety and as a slot corner. And this is a big opportunity, not only for them to step up and help the Eagles get a big win and get to 5-5, but it's also big for the Eagles' future in the secondary. We got to see what we have in these three guys. And I'm very excited about those prospects. So those are some matchups to watch on offense and defense for the Eagles. Coming up next on the podcast, we're going to get the thoughts of Ross Jackson. Ross Jackson from Locked On Saints. He's going to get into a little bit of what he expects to see on Sunday as the Eagles take on the Saints. That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast.
What's up, guys? Ross Jackson here from Locked On Saints. Thank you for letting me send this in. I just want to give a couple of little thoughts about this weekend's matchup between the Saints and the Eagles in New Orleans. Home field advantage, of course, is going to be a huge deal in this game. That dome gets loud. And this is a game that Saints fans have been craving since last season when the Saints lost their opportunity to take on the Eagles in the conference championship. So this has a little bit of a feel to it of something that's been long anticipated for the city of New Orleans. So they're going to be even louder than they usually are. It's kind of feel like a little bit of a divisional matchup, divisional rivalry kind of a game, even though, you know, that's not really what it is, but definitely the Saints fans will be pushing the decibel meter this weekend. I think that when it comes to the Saints offense versus the Eagles defense, I think it's really kind of the same story on both sides, actually, whether it be the Saints offense versus the Eagles defense or the Eagles offense versus the Saints defense. It's kind of a tale of playmakers versus the secondaries. The Eagles secondary right now is hurt and is kind of in, I don't want to say in shambles, but certainly has a lot of moving pieces around right now, especially having lost Ronald Darby for the season, which is a huge hit for the Eagles. So, you know, you're going to have somebody matching up on someone like Michael Thomas that maybe hasn't seen a lot of action, depending on how Jalen Mills recovers from his injury and things like that. He wasn't able to play on Sunday night's game, so that's a big thing and a big part of the matchups to watch for the Saints offense versus the Eagles defense. It's going to be big time between how the secondary is able to guard all of the receiving threats, because remember, the Saints receiving options and the Saints passing game isn't limited to just the wide receivers and tight ends. You've got Alvin Kamara, you've got Mark Ingram in the backfield, who are also incredible as receivers as well. Those two alone are going to create their own types of matchup problems in the run game as well as in the receiving game as well, and are really going to sort of stretch the athletic linebackers that the Philadelphia Eagles have, but are really going to try to kind of push them to their limit here. Flipping the field and sort of looking at the Eagles offense versus the Saints defense, again, it's all about the secondary. The Saints secondary is suspect, to say the least. The addition of Eli Apple has helped out. He got a takeaway last game, but it was off of a batted pass at the line of scrimmage that like soared a mile in the air, and then he was able to pick it off. Marcus Williams came up with a big interception that was just on an ill-advised throw from Andy Dalton. And so the Saints secondary tends to show up from time and time again, but more times than not, they're completely amiss and they're a little confused and discombobulated. And so look for, you know, whether it be Nelson Aguilar, whether it be Alshon Jeffrey or the newest addition, Golden Tate, to have big games at the wide receiver position. Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert, who are incredible tight ends, incredible pass catching tight ends, just big time offensive threats. Look for them to potentially have big games depending on how well Von Bell and the linebackers are able to play, which that unit, the second level of the Saints defense, which in many cases includes Von Bell because of the Joker role that he plays as a box safety. That second unit has actually played very, very well so far this season and has been a factor in limiting tight ends as well as receiving backs out of the backfield. The big thing is going to be making sure that the Eagles don't get a run game going. The Eagles haven't had much of a run game so far this season, and when they haven't rushed over 100 yards in regulation, they've lost all five of those games, and those are the five losses that sit on the 4-5 record at the moment. And so look for the Saints to try to keep them one-dimensional through the passing game, and then cross the fingers that the shootout is keeping enough distance on the Saints offensive side rather than the Philadelphia offensive side, because every game, when you're a New Orleans Saints fan, or whether you're covering New Orleans Saints or just watching New Orleans Saints, every game has the potential to be a shootout. If we were even concerned about that in the media, looking at the potential of a shootout against Andy Dalton and Tyler Boyd, and Tyler Boyd was really the only threat there, and there was still some concern about it turning into a shootout. So this game absolutely has all of the ingredients necessary to become a shootout. It's going to kind of depend on which defensive line wins more. The Saints defensive line has really stepped up as of late and has played very well and has been very effective, and they're going to be matching up against a Philadelphia offensive line that's allowed Carson Wentz to be sacked 23 times despite missing the first couple of games of the season. He's also been sacked more than four times in four separate games this season as well. Meanwhile, Drew Brees has been sacked the least and has taken the fewest quarterback hits so far this season with a stellar offensive line in front of him. But a big piece of that offensive line, Teron Armstead, is going to be missing this game as well, an additional 2 to 3 games throughout the rest of this year, potentially not being able to come back until week 15 against the Carolina Panthers. So it's all going to sort of come down to which defensive line, in my opinion, it's going to come down to which defensive line is going to be able to win more and is going to be able to affect the game at a greater capacity, because both of these offenses have exactly what it takes to hang with one another if this becomes a shootout and, you know, make it one of those games in which whoever has the last possession wins. But hopefully for New Orleans, that doesn't happen. I'm looking for New Orleans to get this win. I think that Philadelphia is just too banged up on the defensive side and has a great offense, but is going to have some trouble keeping up with Sean Payton, Drew Brees, and all of the weapons that they have. But I look for it to be a close game and a high scoring game. So I'm looking at a 35-31 win for the Saints. If you want to hear a little bit more about my take, keys to victory, bold predictions, things like that, go ahead and give today's episode of Locked On Saints a listen. I talk about all that. Thanks, guys. I hope that it's a great game and that it's a lot of fun. And I hope it doesn't go too well for you guys, because obviously I want to see the Saints win this one. But these are two teams that are still very much alive in the playoff race, and it'd be fun to see a little bit of a rematch later on down.
All right, everyone, that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Eagles. Thank you to everyone that tuned in on this Friday edition. Thanks to Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints for giving his insight on the game. For my co-host Gino Camilleri, who will be back with me tomorrow on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Eagles, I am Lou DiBiase signing off. Thank you for all who listened. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. Subscribe to our podcast, leave a review, rate 5 stars if you would. We appreciate all the listener feedback. And until tomorrow, this has been Louis DiBiase on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thanks for downloading, thanks for listening, and let's go Birds.